The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
The last hour has arrived, and we're delighted that you have been with us. A lot of things happening today, and we're really excited to say hello to John Oran, who is the sports media critic and reporter for the Sports Business Journal. His podcast with Andrew Marchand of the New York Post is the number one sports media podcast in the country. John, I know you're getting ready for March Madness, and we look forward to talking to you about that. And we always enjoy talking to you. Good afternoon. Okay, let me try that one more time. John, we'll see if John can hear me, first of all. Are you there, John?
Can you hear me? I can hear you great.
We can hear you now, and we're delighted to have you on. There's a bunch of stuff I want to talk about, including the basketball tournament and the coverage of it, and the future of a couple of college sports leagues that are dwindling in influence. But I saw you reporting on the story last night, and you would think I would know a little bit about sports media, but this one really surprised me about how and I realize what's happening in the industry. But can you explain the story of Diamond Sports and bankruptcy and what it means about pretty much everything involving sports, especially professional sports?
It is a canary in the coal mine right now for professional sports, because Diamond Sports, they're the company that owns all the Bally Sports networks, all the regional sports networks that have deals with teams across the country. Well, Bally Sports just yesterday went into bankruptcy because they are a company they were created by Sinclair. Sinclair bought these rights from your company, from Disney, for about right around $12 billion. They're worth about $2 billion now, and they're running with $8 billion, with a B, dollars of debt. And so it was impossible for them to make money, because they make money off of cable and satellite subscriptions and the number of subscribers there. And as you know, people are cutting the cord, they're rebundling, and so the revenue there is dropping. And at the same time, they're paying these teams about double-digit increases every single year in terms of their rights fees. So it's an unsustainable business model. And they hit bankruptcy. Just 2 weeks earlier, Warner Brothers Discovery, that owns the TNT and TBS and those channels, they own four regional sports networks. They told their teams, we're getting out of this business. It's an awful business. So right now, if you're a team, you're seeing these big media companies starting to retrench. And what has been a really reliable revenue stream going back three decades, media rights revenue locally, looks like it's really drying up. And so it could be the first pebble for an avalanche coming down. But it's something that I've been keeping my eyes on for quite a while, because teams are really getting concerned about this.
Obviously a big deal. John, let me switch gears to another story that we are following very closely here on this program, and that's the future of college sports as we know it. We know about what Big Ten and the SEC have done, but there's so much chatter about the Pac-12, the Big 12. I know you, the ACC, I know you've talked about it quite a bit, reported about it for a very long time. Help us understand this landscape as we get ready to turn to next year, when almost everything in college sports changes.
Well, so you said that right now you have two college conferences. You have the SEC and you have the Big Ten. And then you have three conferences that are trying to vie to be the third. And that's the ACC and the Big 12 and the Pac-12. Their rights are up after the next season, so they seemingly have a lot of time. But right now, the Pac-12 commissioner, George Kliakoff, has been giving deadlines. Some of the university presidents have been talking about when they want to get these deals done. But I'm glad you asked about the regional sports networks to start this, because what's happening with the regional sports networks is happening across sports media. And so ESPN, which used to have bottomless pockets, it seemed, in terms of going and buying rights, now all of a sudden, they're becoming much more cost conscious, and they've had to. You've had Jimmy Pitaro, who runs ESPN, say this pretty regularly. They've had to decide what's must-have programming and clearly the SEC is must-have programming, the Big Ten, the NFL, the NBA, and what's sort of nice to have programming. And you can see with their decision to walk away from Major League Soccer, that was you know, nice to have programming. The real question that I have and that I've been trying to report on is what falls below that line and what goes above that line. And right now it looks like the Pac-12 is falling a little bit below that line, mainly because of timing. I mean, the Big 12 came out, they got their media deal done early, and the Pac-12 thought it could wait and get a better deal. And waiting actually looks like it's bringing a little bit of a worse deal to the Pac-12 right now. But we'll see where it shakes out. But right now, that's sort of the lay of the land.
John, you've had so many important stories. I remember the night you breaking the SEC ESPN deal. That was seemed like a long time ago, and still hasn't gone into effect yet, which is amazing.
That was incredible.
So many other major stories that you've reported on, but in terms of financial compensation, it just doesn't seem like there's anybody other than the Big Ten and the SEC that are in the elite stages right now, which leaves conferences like the ACC, even the Big 12 is struggling. But after losing Oklahoma and Texas, although they've made up a lot of ground, I don't want to say have and have nots, because we have the college football playoff and there's so much going on in that space, but how would you characterize the college sports world right now when it comes to television and really financial worth?
Yeah, I would say have and have not. I think, I know that there's a lot of hue and cry among the ACC fans and some of the ACC schools about, re-upping those rights. But those rights, ESPN signed that they go into the mid-2030s. For goodness sake, and it created an ACC network as well. So that was actually a really good deal, both for the conference, because the idea of launching I forget when it launched, Paul. It was, I think, 2019, right?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, the idea of launching a cable channel in 2019 could have been a really disastrous business decision by ESPN. They ended up doing it. So I know that people want to get out of this deal, but at the time the deal was struck, and even today, I think it's a pretty good deal for the ACC. And you look at the Big 12, I think that deal was a great deal for the Big 12, but it does set them up at a tier that is pretty far below, in my eyes, where the Big 10 and the SEC are.
John, I'm curious, because there's so much conversation about expansion, and we have this utterly bizarre UCLA-USC move to the Big 10. You're a graduate of what was a long-time ACC school. The ACC tournament for Maryland was Heartbreak Hotel for Lefty Driesell back in the day.
Every year.
And I'm just curious, from a personal standpoint, as a fan, what has this move to the Big Ten been like? Because I have to – I mean, I know Rutgers is not worth talking about, but I have to remember that Maryland plays in the Big Ten, even though they're a reasonably decent seed. They could play Alabama as early as Saturday afternoon. They've done moderately well, but it's still been quite a long transition.
Yeah, I graduated from Maryland in 1989, and a lot of people that I graduated with still hate that move. They can't stand it. So I'm a little bit in the minority, Paul. I love the move. I thought it was a great move because the ACC that we left was not the ACC of Len Bias and Lefty Driesell, in the 1980s. The ACC was putting us in ACC North. They were making our rival, you had to pick the rival. It couldn't be UVA because Virginia Tech was coming in. So it couldn't be Duke because they had Carolina. So they decided Maryland's rival was going to be Pitt. We all of a sudden were going to be playing Syracuse and Boston College a lot more than we were going to be playing, Duke and Carolina. So the idea that we, I'm speaking solely as a fan now, Paul.
Sure.
My hatred for Duke, Carolina, and UVA immediately got replaced by my hatred for Penn State, Michigan, and Ohio State. So that was pretty easy for me to make that switch.
Speaking of the tournament, I know you you and Marchand have talked to Nance, and I'm sure we will get a long goodbye here from CBS. But I mean, I know the jokes are about True TV and last night I'm flipping it, but have we all settled in pretty well tomorrow instead of the way it used to be, which was chaotic? I mean, it's on four channels, and are they really that hard to find, even though we're going to hear people complain all day long tomorrow?
I think that they still will complain, but the thing about True TV is I still don't even know what the I use a voice remote. I don't even know what the channel is to get to True TV. One thing that I will be looking at, and this pertains actually to the NBA rights deal that's coming up, is as well. Turner doesn't have a broadcast component. It's all cable channels. And when they did this deal, the first time they did this deal, cable was in about 100 million homes. Well, now it's in like 72 million homes. And at some point, is the NCAA or Turner or CBS, are they going to do something to try to ensure that these games get off of, you know, a declining cable base and get to more broadcast, or maybe even get to streaming? Is there going to be some? There's been no movement about that at all. I don't want to suggest that there has, but at some point, could the cable universe drop low enough that they have to do something like that? That's something that bears watching, I think.
Before you go, I do want to get your look ahead, because I mean, I have friends who still complain about Amazon on Thursday night, and whenever we're doing something on a digital platform. Listen, there is a weird world out there that we're now living in, and it's a necessity, and you cover it every day. What does the future of sports look like in terms of the way we have it now versus where we're going?
Yeah, you know, it's easy to talk about where we're going, and everybody's going to be streaming, right? And that's the wave of the future. One thing, the way that you're going to watch the NFL in 2033 is going to be via broadcast TV. That's a deal that they just did. You know, the way that you're going to watch the Stanley Cup playoffs, all of their games are going to be on linear television. None of them are going to be streamed going to the end of the year. The end of the decade. The SEC and the SEC network, you know, there might be a couple of games that are streamed here and there, but primarily until the end of this long-term deal that you have with ESPN, the only way you're going to be able to see it is going to be on terrestrial television. So I know that there's an unmistakable trend, Paul. My head's not in the sand. Like, there is certainly a trend towards streaming, and you see what it did with entertainment programming. With sports, some of the legacy media companies like Fox, I mean, Fox has baseball, football, they just did a Big Ten deal. It has no streaming service. I mean, for at least a decade, they're set. So streaming's going to rise, but you're still, like, if you're an old guy like me, you're still going to be sitting in front of a big screen TV and watching it that way.
Thanks for saying that to a guy that's 10 years older than you are. John.
I'm trying to be nice, Paul.
Hey, I've given up on that. It's such a pleasure to have you on. I mean, there are 1,000 topics I could ask you about, but we don't want to, take get you away from your terp watch party that's about to start. Well, hopefully we'll see Alabama from the SEC taking on Maryland on Saturday. That would be quite a game for a lot of our followers. Hey, John, come back soon. It's always a pleasure. You be well.
I wanted to pick Maryland in that game. I couldn't actually do that, but I will be watching. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you very much. John Oren from the Sports Business Journal with a look ahead and today in the sports television platform. We will take a break. We still have plenty of time for your phone calls, and we're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Welcome back. It's always great to have you on with us, and let's continue with more phone calls. AJ is up next. Hello, AJ.
Good afternoon, Paul.
Hey there.
Hey, this is for Jim only, okay? Jim, that distorted, disdainful, and contentious response that you had in representing your Lord Jesus Christ, are you seriously going to go there? That contrite tongue that you got, you need to set it, you need to shut that thing up, Jim. You make every single Christian breathing oxygen on the planet ashamed of you. I mean, you need to get it together for real, man. I mean, if you get, this is a show. This is a Feinbaum show. That means it's a show. And you went way overboard, Jim. You've taken it too far. And enough's enough. If you can't represent the Lord according to the actual Bible, then leave it alone, Jim. Find something else to talk about. Go beat on the buzzards or something, because I'm going to tell you something. I am so sick today, I can't even eat dinner tonight because of Jim. Honestly. I mean, Jim, you got me that pissed off today with that crap. I'm just going to tell you straight up. I know, if I was you, I'd bury my head in repentance on the last two phone calls. If I was you, Jim, because I'm going to tell you something. You're going to answer for that tongue that you got, Jim, one day, because the Lord is going to be coming, and he's going to come. And hopefully when he gets here, the first thing he does is pass you by, Jim, because of your tongue. War Eagle.
JK is next.
What's up, Paul?
Hello.
Hey, Paul. Let these people know that Jim is going to repeat this same cycle, and he'll call back in a couple of days and apologize and be right back to calling, making crazier calls next week sometime. So, y'all, don't get in an uproar about Jim. Jim is just being Jim, and, you know, that's how he is. But, Paul, I appreciate these guys putting me on that the bracket, so I look to see myself up in the final four or the final two, and hopefully the number one spot. But what I really called to talk to you about is I had a little discussion with Mr. Sexton. Yeah, I got an agent now. I think I need to discuss my NIL deal on this show. I ain't really too much worried about that bracket.
That's fine.
I want to know about my NIL deal.
It's funny. We right before our show the other day ran into Jimmy Sexton. He had a nice chat with us, and he mentioned representing you in assuming you can get past Kathy in the first round.
Hey, I only have to pay in 0.5%, so. You know, the fee is not that high, so I need to come up with a product that they're going to pay me for. So what's my deal, Paul?
Yeah, JK, here's the bad news, and you need to call Jerome because he thought he was entitled to something. We are not in a position to pay NIL money, so you'll have to find that on your own.
Hey, Paul, ain't it kind of strange to you that my brother Jerome popped up out the ground like a hedgehog and just as soon as Alabama started winning?
Oh, yeah.
You notice the pattern? They lose, they go into the witness protection program. All of a sudden they win, he pop out the ground like a hedgehog, like he's a real Alabama fan. That's what they do, Paul. Now, as soon as Alabama loses in this tournament, the Alabama call is going to dwindle down again.
Yeah, but what if they don't lose?
What if they don't lose?
They are the national champions.
Hey,
again.
It'll be about time, huh? And we know they're not going to do anything in any other sport. So, you know, that dynasty is over. I keep telling y'all that. They're not going to win it all. All y'all people that's got Alabama in that final game to win it all, you might as well ball it up and put it in 5-13.
I'll do that. I do have them winning it all. Kathy is up next. Hello, Kathy.
Hi, Paul. I just want to tell J.K. he better be careful because Alabama can dribble that ball, and they can shoot very good, and they may win it all. But I wanted to say that I agree with them about Jim. He ain't nothing but blowhard. You can't believe anything he says. He may have been the number one caller a long time ago, but now it's a different age. And poor old legend, he just loves us to death because now he's let the elf on the shelf go and he's talking about Bobo. He's going to be very surprised when we win the third one. But, you know, JK, we'll give you some pork skins and a Dr. Pepper for your NIL bill.
Thank you, Kathy. Johnny is up next in Kentucky. Hello, Johnny.
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
We are doing great.
Hey, listen, I called to give you some props here, right? These people don't realize that you keep us up to date on all the SEC stuff, football, basketball, and everything else that goes on here. Without you, we wouldn't know nothing.
Thank you.
And another thing I wanted to talk about was the Kentucky basketball team. Our basketball team, we don't have a deep bench, and these boys are playing 35 minutes each. And when you start playing 35 minutes each, every game, eventually you're going to have people get hurt. And I just want to let you know that I love my team, and I think our team's going to go further than people think they are. And I'll just get off here and listen to what you have to say.
Thank you very much. I happen to agree with you on that. Trey is up next in Oxford, Mississippi. Trey, you there?
Hey, Paul. I'm sitting here. Hey, yeah, I'm here. I'm just sitting here in Oxford. I was wondering what you think Chris Beard's ceiling is at Ole Miss and how many years do you think he'll stick around before he moves on to the next job?
Well, you'd have to tell me what his record's going to be before I could answer that question.
I got no idea. Hey, we got nothing going on in Oxford.
Yeah,
basketball
from a pure basketball standpoint, he's one of the top coaches in the country. I mean, that's not even in debate. That's not a debatable fact. And more than likely, he will get good players in there, and I think he'll win very quickly. So. I know what he said yesterday, that he did his due diligence on Ole Miss as well, and he wants to be there. I would say he may find it to be the greatest place in the world. I know most people that live there do find it that way, but I wouldn't count on that happening.
Yeah, I hope you're right.
Yeah, one thing I will say about Chris Beard, he will win. His track record speaks for itself in terms of his basketball acumen. We'll take a break. More to come right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Daryl is in Baton Rouge. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
We are doing great, Daryl. Thank you.
Good, good. I was watching a show yesterday, and if I understood correctly, you've never met Jim in person, right?
No, ever. We've invited Jim countless times to various luncheons, functions, Christmas parties, events. I've been to Tuscaloosa, where he lives. Can you imagine the number of times I've been to Tuscaloosa in the last 20 years since I first started talking to Jim? Never met him.
Well, that's not natural. It's not normal. I mean, if you've been called on the show like he has for, 20 years?
It's about that long, yes.
And you're calling in every day or every other day, and he's real knowledgeable of sports and better baseball player than Ted Williams. It's just not natural. I mean, two nickels make a dime, and it seems like our friend Jim's a nickel short. It blows my mind that you could talk to somebody on the phone for 20 years, and when he's in the hometown where you live, you don't even go by and say hello?
Daryl, all I can offer is a high level of disappointment because I've wanted to meet him. I thought it would be interesting, and we're not trying to get anything out of him. We just wanted to be collegial. But hey, thank you very much for your call. We appreciate it. Jim is next.
I told you, Paul. I'm sorry to say this, but I told you early on I didn't want to get around you or any of those people that carry on like they do, and that's my prerogative. And it's nothing unnatural about that at all. And I don't call to talk to you every day. You know what I did starting out? I talked about sports, talked about football. That's what I talked about, and your show was an avenue to do that. And you had a good avenue. I used it. That's all. Is that a big deal? Is anything unnatural about that?
Sounds perfectly natural to me.
And if I wanted to meet you, I would have met you. I didn't care to meet you. I'm not interested in you. I was interested in the sports, and that's all it was about. That's simple as that. And this J.A., the jackass, he's a complete idiot. He really is. He doesn't know anything about the Bible. I don't want to call him a fool, but he sounds like one. That's all I can tell you. Let me ask you something, Paul. Do you think just because you were born a Jew and Jesus was born a Jew, that automatically makes you a brother of Christ?
Jim, I'm going to make it. I have great faith, Jim, and I don't.
I ask you a question, Paul. Can you answer it or not?
I am not going to sit here
You got it wrong.
I feel comfortable with my relationship with God, and I'm going to leave it right there.
Well, I'm just telling you, you intimate that you think that I'm not. I'm your brother because you're a Jew.
I by the way, I said what I said, and I meant it. Susie is up next in Georgia. Hello, Susie.
Oh, Paul, you devil, you. Oh,
well,
I don't know.
I've been called that a few times lately.
Yeah, but that used to be something fun to call somebody, you know, because it was kind of almost endearment, you devil, you. And I'm right after Jim, and I've heard too much of him today already.
That seemed to be the view of the people that make those decisions, too.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. I'm not even going to waste my breath on him. I'm proud of you, though, because that this last one was that was totally uncalled for to you. I'm a Christian, but my friends, Jewish, Muslim, we're all have
yeah,
a God.
You know, I think that CZ, that's really the important thing to say here. We're not. It doesn't matter what you believe in, or quite frankly, even if you don't believe in anything, right. We are going to treat you the same way here. You don't have to bring an identification in terms of your personal faith.
Right. But I really called about Legend. Legend's a little delirious to me today.
He was. Yeah, Legend definitely went after
like
you.
He sounds like he's a betting man, Paul, if he won $100 on the game last night that was won by 1 point. I would love to see his bracket. And I can't believe if he filled out a bracket, and he's a betting man, he has every SEC team but Alabama losing their first game. That's
well, I think I think he said the first weekend, so he may have couched it, but I you know, listen, well, you and I disagree with him.
Tennessee not
getting
matter. By our game, yeah, it's just Legend. Come on, buddy. We should be rooting for SEC teams to make it as far as they can. In my
opinion. Well, yeah, I mean, I think that would be normal, but then again, I've never tried to suggest people have to do anything. Who you choose to root against or for is fine. William is up next.
Paul, how are you today?
I am doing just wonderfully. Thank you for asking.
Well, I'm going to say something that I've said previously, I think both privately and publicly. Jim's most recent attack on you personally or questioning your faith is completely inappropriate. You know, it reminds me of, I think it's the Samuel Johnson quote about beware of the teachers of morality for they discourse like angels but they act like men. Jim has attacked a lot of callers on this show personally. He's attacked you numerous times. He's attacked the show. He's attacked, the folks that work with you. I'm tired of it, and I think it's inappropriate. I think that he needs to stand down and either get back to talking about sports or just stay off the show, Paul. But his attack on you a few minutes ago really has my blood boiling.
Well, William, thank you. I'm fine. There's a million cliches or quotes I could offer about not caring what people say about you when you really don't care about their opinion on anything. But that's fine. I mean, he is one thing Jim is never going to do is upset me.
Well, I'm not even sure that's the point, Paul. I think the point is that whether it upsets you or not, it is a personal attack that is unwarranted, and I don't think it should stand.
I appreciate you saying that and what Susie said, but I'm fair game. I made a decision to engage him early, not today, because I really didn't care to engage him any longer. But I made that decision yesterday when he called me the devil incarnate twice, and so I walked into that denizen. Thank you for the call, though. We're heading to a break here, mercifully, and we'll be right back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.